Could you state your name?
Wallace Pfeiffer.
And what branch of the service were you in?
8th Air Force.
And what war?
World War II.
Okay. Can you tell me, where were you born, Wally?
At Harlow, North Dakota.
And what did your parents do?
My dad was a station agent on the Soo Line Railroad. And my mother, she never did work that I ever knew of.
Okay.
But they were...
out of the home. How many siblings did you have?
I mean, what?
How many brothers and sisters did you have?
I had 2 brothers, no sisters.
Okay.
And they're both gone now. So I'm the only one that's hanging around.
Where did you go to school?
Eglin, North Dakota.
Okay. And did you graduate high school there?
Yes, I did.
And what did you do after high school?
Well, I was drafted right after high school, you know.
Okay.
For World War II, and I was in the service for just about 3 years.
Okay. So when you got word that you were drafted, where did you go for your basic training?
Well, I was drafted just a few days after Japan, you know, took after us on Hawaiian Island.
Yes.
And so I guess I was sent overseas, and I was sent over to Okinawa, and then I was sent into, well, I don't remember which country, but I was sent into where I was going to be stationed as a ground troops in Okinawa. Well, I didn't like that worth a darn, so I was out one day, and I got a day's leave, and I went to our commander, and I said, I demand to be transferred to the Air Force or someplace more than what this here. And they did. They transferred me. That is very, very unusual.
Mm-hmm.
But I proved to them that I really wanted to be in communications with the Air Force.
He already had that communications through the dick-dock.
Okay.
That's what I did that night.
Great.
And that was very interesting.
So then where did they send you after they...
Well, I went over to England first and flew in a B-17 as a communications person.
Mm-hmm.
33 missions over Germany.
What was that like?
Well, some weren't too bad, but there some were very bad. In fact, we crash-landed in Holland. We couldn't go any further. We couldn't get back to our base in England. Our pilot says it's impossible. He says, if I can keep it high enough in the air to get across our lines, then we'll just come in on our belly. And
wow. That must have been very scary.
Oh, it was, but we knew he was going to save ourselves anyhow, unless the airplane blew up or something.
Yeah. So then what happened after you landed? And
well, then then after I flew the 33rd mission there, the war more or less ended with Germany. So we was all sent back to the States with the idea that we was going to the Pacific Theater. But that ended too while we was on the boat going back to the States. from England.
Mm-hmm.
So I never did get over to the Pacific, but I didn't care.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but that was over too then, see.
Mm-hmm.
Everything was over. So then...
Now, what kind of training did you have to go through before you went on that
B-17.
B-17. What kind of training?
Not too much. I had to train in the radio end of it.
Okay.
And we took some training in the United States here on a B-17 that we... Well, that's where we get all our training, right from the airplane.
Okay.
And then we were sent to, we weren't a full crew then, but we were sent to Oklahoma, where we got together all the radio operators one place, and the engineers, and the gunners, mm-hmm. and the pilot, and the co-pilot, and we took off to each line for our crew here.
Mm-hmm.
And that worked out pretty good.
So how many on a crew?
Well, when we first started, there were 10 on that crew.
Okay.
But towards the end of the war, it was down to 6 most of the time.
I see.
And between 6 and 8, but 6 mm-hmm. most of the time. Otherwise, I couldn't. And of course, we crash landed that airplane on a Canadian fighter base,
mm-hmm.
and they were just all upset with us and everything else, because they were using it every day.
Mm-hmm.
Well, the big B-17 tore up all the runway and everything, so they couldn't use that either.
Oh my gosh.
So they weren't happy with us up there. That's some of the things that happened that you wouldn't expect to happen.
Right.
Ask him how they got back to the base in England.
So how did you get back to the base in England then?
They finally, he was at a little camp that they set up, and that was usually used by people that were coming back and had to land at this Canadian base,
mm-hmm.
and then we'd go there and stay until then they got back to England. They sent a plane over for us, and we finally... But that took, that took 5 or 6 weeks before they got one over there. But anyhow, that's how we got back.
So you spent the 5, 6 weeks then right in England?
Yeah. 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 And we sat there at that little camp for, like I say, 5 weeks before mm-hmm. they finally got a plane over.
I didn't realize that. I'm hearing
what was the morale like at that point? Knowing that it would take 5, 6 weeks to...
Oh, I think it's pretty good.
Mm-hmm. You'd been through the worst.
They furnished us beer all the time we wanted. they knew we weren't going to be doing any flying or anything mm-hmm. for a while.
Sure.
But then anyhow, they finally got us back to England. And we made a few more trips over to... Berlin most of the time, and then the war was over there. They sent us over to New York, and from New York they sent us to a base in Wisconsin, but then the war was over there too, so by golly, they got us all together, and they gave us each a furlough to go home for mm-hmm. 3 weeks or whatever it was.
What was that like, getting to go home? How long had it been since you'd been home?
It is very good.
Mm-hmm.
And I tell you, there's more stories told and people asking for questions or asking questions
mm-hmm.
to answer.
How long it had been since you were drafted until you got to go home again? Was it several years?
Oh, yeah, when I was drafted. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I got to go home for, I don't know, a couple of weeks or something. Because then we had our orders when we were supposed to go to England. And, and we just flying a plane over. So the weather got terrible. And they called all the planes back to Canada that were... And for some reason, I don't know, there was about 8 or 10 of us that didn't get the message or something. So we landed in Iceland.
Oh, my gosh.
And we stayed there until the weather cleared up a little bit. And then when it did clear up, well, then we took off for England. And we got to... I forget what the airfield was. But anyhow, that's where they sent us. And from then on, we flew out of England to two different places in Germany that we bombed. So that was about it. But
not to break the subject, but look at the TV. They're depicting a woman, teacher or someone, huge woman, beating up on one of the small children. I can't stand it. Sorry.
No problem. So...
Well, she must have been a good woman when she beat him up.
So what happened next? What came next for you?
Well, then what came next when the war was over in Europe or Germany, the first thing we did after it was declared over, the pilot, co-pilot, navigation and communications, which was myself, we took all ground personnel, I think we made 3 or 4 trips over some of the bomb cities and different places that we took them to, and that, to me, the plane was full of people in gun compartments and everything else. And I thought that was the most dangerous thing in the world, have all them ground personnel, but they wanted to take them on a few trips to show them what we did.
Can you tell me about some of the people that really stand out that you served with?
Well, our crew, for instance, there was 10 of us in the crew, but then it was really towards the end it was cut down too because they didn't need that many. But We formed a crew in Oklahoma, I think it was, and then we went to Bangor, Maine, and we took off from there over to Canada, and landed there, and then the weather finally straightened out halfway decent, so we took off for England via Iceland, and the weather closed in on us, so we landed at Iceland. We stayed there for 3-4 days, the weather was so bad. Then we got over there, and we landed in England. But we didn't know where we were supposed to go or anything else. Well, they finally sent us where we were supposed to be.
And where was that? Where did you end up?
In England, but I was trying to... Kimbolton.
Okay.
And from there, then we flew out bombing in Germany. And, well, I guess that's all we say about that. We were shot up sometimes pretty bad.
How many missions did you do?
33 Yeah.
What was it like going on that last mission?
Well, I think we all appreciated this, that it was going to be the end.
Mm-hmm.
But we also knew that we was going to be sent to Japan if the war wasn't over there.
Mm-hmm.
Well, it happens to be that it was over while we was on the boat from England back to New York and mm-hmm. into Wisconsin.
So you were on the ship for how many days?
Oh, I would say close to 2 weeks.
Okay. What was life like on that ship for 2 weeks?
Well, not too bad.
Lots of beer, Wally.
Pardon?
Lots of beer?
Quite a bit. Quite a bit. Worked out real well.
How did you pass the time?
With another bottle of beer in the hand.
No.
So the morale was good, no doubt.
Well, there wasn't much you could do to pass mm-hmm. the time.
Sure.
But we went up on the upper deck and hung over the rail and just watched the ocean
sure.
go by.
Sure.
Stuff like that.
Yeah.
Otherwise, there wasn't much that could be done.
So then once you got docked in New York, was it?
Yeah.
Then what happened next for you?
Well, that's when they sent us to the base in England that we was going to fly out of to do some bombing over there.
Mm-hmm.
The last we seen of Hitler, he was laying on the ground dead.
Mm-hmm.
And we figured one of our bombs took care of him. So.
Wow. That had to have been a great feeling.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah. Can't imagine it.
Yeah.
We were real, real happy with her.
Yes.
But we did some things, too, that we shouldn't do, you know.
Mm-hmm.
When we dumped all our bombs, so it was on our way back to England. And there was no more targets, so we would take the bomb bay was full of bombs. We'd fly over some of these small farmhouses and drop a bomb on them. There was nothing left of them.
Mm-hmm.
So that was kind of mean, I thought.
Mm-hmm.
But,
kind of.
But it wasn't. They were our enemies. So.
Mm-hmm. One of the unfortunate things.
So where was this happening, where you dropped on the farmhouses?
In Germany.
In Germany.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So once you came back home from the war, did you stay on with the military?
No, just until they wanted to discharge me.
Okay.
No.
And when did that happen?
Well, let's see. I don't know if I can figure out the dates or... It must have been in, when was the war over there in Germany? It wasn't long after that.
46?
I was going to say that's probably where it wasn't long after we was back. They sent us to Camp McCoy, Wisconsin.
Mm-hmm.
And then we were supposed to go there to the West Coast and from there over Japan and give them a little trouble.
Mm-hmm. So when did you get to Japan?
Well, when did Japan... They quit, you know, when we was on the boat from England over to the United States.
So did you still need to have to go then?
Halfway over.
Okay.
And... So that we didn't get any further than that.
Okay, so you didn't have to go to Japan.
No, didn't have to go there.
Good for you.
And they gave us all a couple, 3 weeks leave to go home. We hadn't been home for years, mm-hmm. you might say.
Sure.
And
that had to have been a wonderful, wonderful time.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
So what did you do with your life after you completed your mission and were released?
Well, I went to work for the railroad.
Okay.
As a telegrapher.
And what does that a telegrapher do?
A telegrapher did all the communications with. I was stationed in Detroit Lakes. Mm-hmm. I took all the communications there for people from, well, Detroit Lakes up to Thief River or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
And then. How was it? They sent us in pretty soon to Wisconsin again, but it turned out that they didn't need us over in the Japanese theater, whatever mm-hmm. it was, so we were sent back home. And well, they sent us home, and I was home for 3 weeks, and I had a good time with all my mm-hmm. old friends. And I lived in a farming community, and a lot of the young fellows got out on account of farming.
Mm-hmm.
They didn't.
Sure.
But for us, they didn't look at our.
Yeah. So. You said you spent how many years with the railroad?
42.
Yeah. 42.
Yeah.
Now, did you ever have any reunions with any of the military personnel you served with?
No.
No reunions? Did you ever keep in contact with any special people?
Well, not too many, because our these airplane crews, which was 10 most of the time, mm-hmm. kind of kept to themselves. They weren't the crews didn't intermingle or anything,
mm-hmm.
and so that was. And of course, we going over there. To England, we flew into Canada, and then we flew over to Iceland, and we landed there. The mm-hmm. weather was blowing; it was mm-hmm. getting bad.
Mm-hmm.
So we just stayed there, and then, I suppose about 4 or 5 days, and the weather cleared up, and we mm-hmm. took off, and we made it to England. But we didn't know where we were supposed to go in England, so we went up and we found an air base. Landed there, and then a couple of days later they told us where we was going.
So now I understand that the pilot that you worked with is the only one in your crew that is still...
The two of us, as far as we know.
Yes. Yeah.
They're the only two that communicated.
Yes.
And, well, at least once a year we get together on the phone. And,
great.
Yeah, so we have a...
And where does he live?
He lives out in Massachusetts.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's wonderful. All these years and you still talk to each other once a year.
Oh, yeah, we still, yeah.
And what was the pilot's name?
Edwards. Al Edwards.
Al Edwards. Oh, yeah. Okay, great.
Yeah.
And did you get together otherwise... you know,
no, we
just
never,
on the phone.
Never have. Well, I shouldn't say we haven't. He come up here once.
Okay.
Yeah, he come up once and stayed in a motel in Bemidji, I got to visit with him quite a bit then, because he stayed up there for 2 or 3 days.
Mm-hmm. And, great. That's wonderful. So, Wally, how would you like to be remembered?
Well, I don't know. But, I've told so many so many people about my experiences already that I don't know. Any way you want to.
Well, you've got your military life and your career after the military and your family. Can you elaborate on anything like that?
Yeah, that's very true. And so I wrote this one, you know. And Margot, that's our daughter.
Yeah.
And she did the typing on it. I wrote it all by hand.
That's wonderful.
Well, it,
it's a wonderful keepsake.
Here's our four officers. The co-pilot, bombardier, the pilot, and the navigator.
Mm-hmm.
So,
that's a great picture.
Yeah, it is a very good picture.
Wonderful keepsake.
Any more in here or not.
Nice to have your story all written up like that. Very nice.
Here's the enlisted man, myself, and the engineer. He was a gunner, ball turret gunner, tail gunner.
That's a beautiful picture. Five handsome young men. And what's this picture here?
Yeah, this is a picture of planes flying through the clouds. And
beautiful.
On the way home to England, if it got too bad, sometimes the German fighters, they followed us right out there, you know. And so we would get into the clouds and kind of hide in there. And it wasn't it wasn't the best thing you could do, because you wanted some space. That you
sure. And what plane is this? Is this the B-17?
That's the B-17.
Okay.
I can't recall which one it is. That's that's the group.
Beautiful pictures.
Up there in the hallway is the B-17 from the front.
Spectacular.
I guess that's all the pictures I got in this one.
Very nice.
Reminiscent of an experience with the railroad.
Very nice. So, can I ask you one more time, Wally? How would you like to be remembered?
Well, I suppose the best way would be that I was a lucky SOB that made it through.
That's what they called themselves.
I don't know, Linda, what to say about it.
Thank you, Wally.